Look here, I was thinking a minute ago, they slid this microphone on Brother Bobby's belt. It slid right on there, Brother Tom, just slid right on it. Perfect. And I've tried to get it on mine, and it hardly will go. You know, as you get older, you gain in here, and you lose everything all back in here. It goes away. And it reminded me, I was trying to get it, keep sliding, wanting to slide off. But I remember one time, my daughter Stephanie, our oldest daughter's back there. Stephanie, raise your hand. I want the people to see. Hold it up high. And but I was going to whip him one day. He had done something wrong, and he loved to pick, carry on. He still does. But I was going to whip him, and I was getting my belt. I was reaching for that belt, and I had gained a little weight then, too. And he said, "Keep digging, Daddy. It's down there somewhere." Look here. That made me madder. But I got to laughing, couldn't even whoop him at that particular point. Billy, I thank God for you. And I'm humbled, always a little nervous when I get to preach in this camp meeting. And I see it. I don't remember this many preachers on a Monday night in a while. And this kind of attendance, and the meal was great, ladies and gentlemen that helped with that. I've never had carrots and really liked them. Until tonight. I thought somebody tricked me and made me think that was sweet potato casserole. But it wasn't that. It was carrots. But boy, it was good. Everything was good tonight. We enjoyed every bit of it. Thank you for your ministry to us. Billy, watching your grandkids grow up has been a joy to my life. And now see them and they're marrying off and running here and yonder. And they're all so precious and sitting there with you. Stephanie, you got to be a part of some of their lives over at Wake Christian in those early years, and I'm so grateful for it. Brother Bobby's, unless he's left already, he probably did. He don't care to hear me preach as much. His boy, no, there they are. His son and daughter-in-law's in the service. Do y'all know them? Stand up, Philip, you and your sweet wife. Stand up. That's his boy. Is that your baby boy? Philip, are you the baby? The baby boy and his wife. Are you glad they're here? Drove over from Mount Olive. He works over at Mount Olive College. And look, and Lynn, his daughter, sent me, she's watching, unless she turned it off after her daddy preached. The girls are watching, and she sent me some pictures that she took. His family has supported the daylights out of him all these years. Peggy's probably watching from heaven. I remember her walking in that side door, sliding in when she couldn't hardly move good, getting in far enough to sit where Alfred is. And I remember you, Alfred, our times together over at the camp in years gone by. But what a support. How many men of God in this room are thankful for the family God has given to you? You wouldn't be where you are. I hope you know that. You wouldn't be enjoying what you're enjoying were it not for the blessing of family. And I'm so glad our daughter's here tonight, and Terry's with the four older grandchildren, and I wished all of them could be here. But what a blessing. I'm not going to be long tonight. Brother Bobby had a great message. I love hearing him preach. His message was bigger to me when he just stepped up than if he didn't say a word. His life screams to me. And he's a mentor to some of us. And boy, what an honor to get to share tonight. And I've got a simple truth. Tonight we were eating supper. I was sitting with the Gillums, and Sister said, talking about some preacher that really blessed them the other week. And she said, he lost me. On one particular, I said, that's never been said of me, Brother Billy. Nobody ever has said that Tom Wagner lost me. I'm the simplest minded individual in this room, and I've got a simple truth, but something that's really ringing in my heart right now. Romans chapter 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the sweet Spirit of God, for our brother who sang from over in South Carolina, for our friends, the Olises, for Black Creek, for the singers in this church that will sing through the week, and all the rest. We've enjoyed it all, God. We thank you for the meal and the fellowship and the gifts. Lord, this church pours it on. And so I pray you'd bless them. Thank you for the Word of God and your servant that's meant so much to all of us. Now, Lord, would you help me tonight in just these few moments be able to encourage the saints. And Lord, I know you will. You've already promised. And I thank you for it. And I love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. From the Spirit of God brooding on the waters, even before that, because he didn't begin to exist when he was brooding on the waters. He always has been. All the way till when the Spirit and the bride say, come. Except further than that, because he won't be done then. He'll into eternity future, the Holy Ghost will be doing. And Billy, I was hoping you would say that. Because you said it over and over. And if there's a quote that I would put beside your name, it was, we need to mind the Holy Ghost. Mind the Holy Ghost. I would say to you on this first night of camp meeting, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Ghost in these hours, if we'll listen real careful, hear what He has to say, if we'll be moved by the preaching and the singing and the Scriptures, boy, this will be the best camp meeting you can ever have imagined. But the ministry of the Spirit has always intrigued me, and I'm so grateful for it. I've grown up hearing about the Holy Spirit and learning theoretical things about Him, but experiencing the anointing that's coming later in my life has been something. And reading about things, you know, I really want to experience the supernatural. I don't know how you feel, but I've seen enough of what man can do. I'd like to see what God can do if we'll totally turn loose and let Him have His way. And so I've been studying some of these things, and there's a phrase in this passage I'm going to share in a moment. But let me tell you some of the things that the Holy Spirit's doing, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you last year or not. But between January and May of 21, there's a church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, called Long Hollow Baptist Church, preacher named Robbie Galley. They baptized between January and May. They baptized 1,200 people in that short period of time. And let me tell you what happened. No man put that together. They didn't do that. The Holy Ghost settled in that community and in that congregation and took that drug addict, former drug addict of a preacher, and turned him upside down and emptied him of his flesh. And God did a phenomenal work during those days, and they're still enjoying it. There's a little Southern Baptist church down the road from Central. Pastor Cameron and I went there. We heard that revival broke out in our community. By the way, when you hear that, you ought not be questioning where it's at or what's going on or whether or not you like it or not. If it's something real, I want to be a part of it. He and I jumped in the car, and on the way there, I said, let's evaluate what are the elements of genuine revival. And what did we write down, Pastor? About 6 or 7 things? We sat there in that meeting, and we checked them off one right after another. This was a church, Union Grove Baptist Church, the name of the church, down in Salemburg. And in that church, I want you to listen to me now, in that church, they had no pastor. They'd been without a pastor. They've had conflict. Hope not a bunch of them watching on the live feed tonight, but they had had some issues. I'd been down there to preach a time or two. But they invited a young man by the name of David Pate, by the way, influenced by our preacher, our earlier pastor. Y'all were there some of that meeting. And Brother David came in there. I call him, he's like a John the Baptist, a modern day. He's country, he's rough as a cob. Hope he's not watching too. But he stepped up to preach. God started moving. People started getting saved. Week after week, that meeting continued, all because the Holy Ghost was allowed to do His work and invited in that place. I was up in the state of Ohio at a camp that I'm going to be at next week. And in that camp, sitting on the right-hand side, about 800 young people in that room, there was a girl, and none of us knew anything about it. But God started stirring in her heart, and she got filled during that week of meeting. She yielded herself to the Spirit. She made up her mind she was going to see God move in her public high school when she got back home. She got to Clinton County Clinton High School in Wilmington, Ohio, when she got back, and the pastor called me, and he said, I don't know what to do. He said, every Sunday she's coming, she's got 3 or 4 more of those girls, and they're getting saved off that volleyball team, and they're walking down the aisle, and he said, Pastor Tom, not only are they coming, their mamas and daddies are coming, and they're getting saved, and the church is starting to fill up, and God's starting to move in that public high school. And I'm thinking, God, this is all we've ever dreamed of, is for You in these last days to move in power. And boy, when I hear stuff like that, it just stirs me up so much. God, You can do it. He will do it. He has done it, and He will do it again. And I'm coming to this little text tonight, Romans 15. Look at verse 30. Paul's writing this church, and the Holy Ghost is inspiring it. And he said, now I beseech you. Let me tell you what this text is. For the last few years, as I've been preaching these meetings more and more, I ask God to give me a scripture, or to give the pastor a scripture. Give us a passage that we can expect something from God. Lord, speak to us through your word, something we can hang our hat on and come anticipating and agreeing together you're going to do. And so the Lord's been giving me some of those little sweet words in my quiet time, but this was different. The Lord moved on me one morning in prayer and said, I'm going to give you this for a season. There are four things in this text I want to show you, and then I'm going to lift my little thoughts out of that one phrase. But he said, I'm going to do this for you in meeting. Now, this has been now almost a year. And in every meeting, I'm encouraging him in all four of these areas. I want you to look at it first in verse 30. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And I remind them in every meeting, that's why we're here. Not for you, not for the church. We are here for his sake. For the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, here's the four things. This is what I'm asking God to do. And meeting after meeting, we're seeing it happen. Number one, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Number one, God, give me some people of faith who will believe you still are able to do it in these last days. It won't be the whole church. I know good and well in every church you walk into, you got some old wet blankets in there. I believe it was Mays that said, you ain't got to worry about wildfire. There's enough wet blankets in the church. They're going to throw it on any bit of fire that's going to be around. So I know not everybody's going to believe, but God, give me some old women or some old men or some young people in that church that will take you at your word and believe you'll do something that we'll still be talking about years from now. Number one is, Lord, give us some people of faith. Deliver me from those that do not believe in Judea. Number two, there's a second thing. I love what he said. He was delivering a gift, if you remember. And the Bible says, verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I go to meetings, and you preachers, when you go to meetings and when you stand in your church, you ain't the gift. I know some preachers think they're the gift. Y'all know any of them? They strut like a banty rooster when they are walking around in there. But I'm talking about the gift. You see, I don't have anything to offer, but I can bring you what God has given to me in the quiet time and in the prayer closet. And when the songs are sung and when the word is preached, when the gift comes, I want you to receive it. And I say to the church, I'm looking for some people of faith, number one. And number two, I'm looking for some people that'll say, if God's got something for me this week, I hope you'll say that in this camp meeting. I hope you'll have enough faith to say, I'm going to roll back in there tomorrow and see what old Dennis Gregory's got to say. I'm going to sit at the feet of one of the great Bible teachers God has given to us that are mine the jewels in these mornings, and I'm going to hear from heaven. And I want you to listen to me now. If you'll come believing, God will do something in your life this week. Number two, if you come determining, if God, you got something for me, I'm taking it. I'm going to receive it as a gift from you. But there's a third one there that has a little to do with the preachers. Those of us that'll get to stand up and preach. Or if I'm good, you're going in to do a meeting, that's you. Look at what he said. Number three, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and with you be refreshed. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's my part. Tonight, I didn't drag in here my tail dragging down the aisle. I've been looking forward to this since we talked the first time. I love every time I come over here. You, because of you, some of these people love me, and I see them in the store, and they'll hug my neck. I love coming here. I love being with my mentor. I didn't know my pastor was going to be here, but I even love him. And I love being with my daughter, and I love being with the saints in the church. And I didn't know I'd see some of y'all and my friends from over the years, but I've come today not just because I love you and I'm enjoying. I've got some joy in my heart because I'm in the house of God with His people during these days. And it's the will of God that we're together. You know how many things could happen to keep you from being here tonight? You have any idea what could occur in your church, preachers, that keep you from being here tonight? Hey, by the way, the phone rung a minute ago. The funeral home was calling, Pastor. We must have another one. By the way, I don't do funerals no more. We made a decision in the transition. He didn't tell me. He didn't make me do it. But he's sweet to me. He let me do just about things I feel like it led to do. But I said, I ain't doing no more funerals. I'll help him. If they ask him to do the funeral, I'll help him and tell stories. That's what I do now. I tell stories. He preaches the text. And if you hear him preach, you'll understand why. I tell stories and he preaches the text. But he said that I may come with joy by the will of God and with you be refreshed. I can promise you, every time I've come to this camp meeting, I've enjoyed refreshment. I like old Onesiphorus in the Bible. Don't you love him? The Bible says he oft refreshed me. Paul said that about him. I want this to be a refreshing. I'm asking God to refresh everybody in this room. But I'll come with joy. But listen to the last thing that I've asked God to do. Four of them. Look at what he said. It's my favorite. 1 verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. That the Lord would be present in every single gathering. We would know his presence in every single meeting. Not because of you or how good you preach or how good you sing. By the way, for the record, this church ain't looking for no production. Don't try to impress everybody. If you got a good one, you stick it on back and preach what God gives you to preach. If you're the best singer, I pray if you get up in the flesh, your voice will crack so bad, everybody will know you is in the flesh. What we're interested in is the presence of God. Is that right or not? This church is hungry for that. This camp meeting's been built on that. But my message is that little phrase in verse 30, the love of the Spirit. I remember when I was just a young preacher, we'd go to a camp meeting. For the record, Zane Fishel, that'll be here tomorrow night, was a teenager at this camp meeting. And for that, if you ain't ever heard that choir, you better roll in here tomorrow night. And Buddy C don't play around. He's a preacher too. It's going to be on tomorrow night. But Zane was a young man, Teague Gross. His father-in-law would preach in that meeting. And I remember there being an old preacher, and he was from Georgia, and you might remember him. His name was A.C. Carpenter. He was out of Cornelia, Georgia. He had white hair, and he always wore a black suit. He had a little pocket watch, and he would twirl that chain sometimes while he would preach. It was a little annoying, to tell you the truth, about the chain. Us boys would just kind of watch the chain a minute, and you'd have to shake yourself and get back on. But he would preach on the fullness of the Spirit. He came to Central, and we had a tent meeting my first year or two there. And I remember he preached every night out of Ephesians 5, every night. and he talked about the fullness of the Spirit. And some woman asked him, I think I know who it is, but I'm not going to say it out loud. But she asked him, when are you going to preach on something else? He said, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he said to her. She didn't appreciate it either, Pastor. I'll tell you afterwards who it was, but I won't tell nobody else. But here's what I want you to know. I heard him say the love of the Spirit. I heard him quote this verse, but I never understood it. I wondered in my mind, Lord, is this talking about the Spirit loving me? Is this instruction on me loving the Holy Ghost? And then how do I do that, God? Is there scriptures that will help me understand this element of the ministry of the Spirit? And that's what I want to talk about tonight for just a few minutes. Notice that phrase, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. For the love of the Spirit. I want to pray one more time and give you my three little words. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I ask you to take this simple truth through your simple servant, and may we be and understand more of the work of the Holy Ghost in loving us and us loving Him in this hour, because you did your work. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading Colossians the other day and came across that similar statement in Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit, talking about that church. But I was reading it and praying so fervently, God, I want to know. I want to know if there's a new level of understanding the ministry of the Spirit. I want to know how to love the Holy Ghost. I want to understand that. God, would you help me with it? I told Brother Bobby, I said, I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost. He said, he does this every time. He always knows so much, and he helps me with it. He says, do you know that in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Ghost is mentioned 19 times, the most ever in the Bible? I said, what? Is that true? When I hung up, I started looking, counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's right. 19 times. But I want to understand this, and boy, it wasn't long, and the Lord brought to my mind Romans chapter 5. Would you turn back there, verse 5. You all know this verse real good, and I want you to see the connection real quick and then give you three words. Romans chapter 5, if you started in verse 3, it talked about tribulation and patience, experience, hope, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Say this with me. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? By the Holy Ghost. And a light turned on in my heart. A light turned on when it came to this truth. And I saw three words, and I just want to give you these three words. I don't have a slick outline tonight. Here are the three words. Number one, the word, first of all, I want you to see the word from, F-R-O-M. And then I want you to see the word to, T-O. And then I want to talk just briefly on the word of, O-F. Number one, I want to tell you, first of all, when it comes to the love of the Spirit, it was the Holy Ghost that revealed to you how much love you had coming from God Almighty and how much Jesus loves you. You think you figured that out on your own? You say, my mama told me. Well, who you think told your mama? I heard a preacher say it. No, let me tell you something. The reason why tonight we know that we are loved by God as we sit in this room with a world unraveling all around us, the confidence to know how much God loves us is all because of the love of the Spirit. It's the love of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost who revealed to you and revealed to me the love of God. It was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's how you know it. Let me tell you this. You know how I know Jesus loves me? Because of the Holy Ghost. In inspired Scripture, I know that I am loved by God and I am loved by Jesus. You don't have any idea how loved you are. You and I can't even embrace for a moment. There's folks that say to me every now and then, I don't think anybody loves me. And I want to say to them, you have no concept, if you're a believer, how very loved you are. And it was the Holy Ghost who's revealing that. And I, by the way, I ain't figured it out yet. You think I understand half of it? I hadn't begun to mind all of the love of God that's poured out on me. All of how much God would love me than to take His Son and put Him on a cross to shed His blood to save my unworthy soul. I'll never figure that out. How Jesus could go to a cross and die and bleed and take my sin. Somebody said that verse in Corinthians says that He made Him, God made Jesus to be sin for us. Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I heard a lot of preaching on how God took all of my sin and put it on Jesus. But not many people tell the other part of that story. Then He took all the righteousness of Jesus and He put it on me. He put it on you. You are very absolutely loved by God. And the reason why you know that is because the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the love of the Spirit from God the Father. From Jesus the Son. Number two, the little word to. Now how do you think you figured out how to love God? Who you think you can do that on your own? I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost that in you is able to manifest that love to God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know how to love God a little bit because of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit inspired. I'm supposed to love God, say this with me, with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength. Now, I know that because the Holy Ghost gave me the Word of God. That's the love of the Spirit to God. I'm to love God like that. And by the way, I love, don't you love that time you have with Him every morning? Amen. Oh, it's the sweetest thing in all the world. I love my grandchildren, but four of the teenagers are in our house right now. And sometimes I don't exactly can't have uninterrupted. I got two younger grandsons. When they spend the night, it's blood on the walls, guts on the floor. They're two wild little children. It affects my quiet time. But I want you to understand something. You see, God in Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is teaching me how to love God and how to love Jesus. Wait till I tell you the scripture He's given me on that. And how to love others. Boy, I like what you said, Brother Bobby, about not talking about the brethren. We got a little problem with that. Sometimes we think if we talk about somebody else, it'll make us look better. just makes you look like an idiot. Stop doing that. Listen to this. Listen, John 14, about verse 20. At that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, Jesus said, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Now look here. You start trying to figure that one out. I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Not only am I in God, and I'm in Jesus, and he said it a different way in John 10 when he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man get them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Listen, I'm telling you, you are loved by God, and you're loved by Jesus, but not only that, your love to them comes through the work of the Holy Ghost that shed abroad that in your heart. Oh, listen. He didn't stop when he got through there. He said, at that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. He that hath my commandments. Oh, wait a minute now. This is a camp meeting. You're not supposed to preach against sin or staying with the Word. Listen to this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Who helps me keep the commandments of God? Who helps me keep the Word of God and love the Word of God? It's the Holy Ghost. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And listen to this. If you love Jesus, he said, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. You love him, the Father will love you. When you love Jesus, the Father loves you. And then that Judas, that other Judas said, how are you going to do? And he said, I'll manifest myself to you. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, he that hath my words. If a man have my words, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. God said, me and Jesus, my son, we're going to make our abode with you. Oh, listen, I'm telling you that the love of the Spirit is not only from helping us understand how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves us, but it's also the Word too. We are helped by the Holy Ghost to know how to love God and how to love Jesus and how to love others. And finally, that little word of, just the love of the Spirit. Oh my goodness. Have you ever thought about all this? Before you were ever a twinkle in your father's eye, your earthly father's eye, the Holy Ghost, who before time was a part of that sovereign Godhead that knew every bit of you, and he loved you. He loved you before you were ever born. And look here. All through your life, when you were turning your back on him, you were rejecting him, you were spurning the Spirit of God's conviction in your life, he just kept coming and kept loving. I'm looking around, I'm seeing some of y'all were a mess, weren't you? Not me, but some of y'all were a mess. No, we were all a mess. But I'll tell you something, listen to me. The Holy Spirit would not be dissuaded. He continued to pursue you and draw you and show you Jesus and reveal the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He didn't give up on you until that day. And I love your testimony, brother, when the Lord saved you over there in Augusta. And every one of us that's saved can share that story when we got saved. And the work just starts then. Because now the Holy Ghost not only is working outside, he's indwelling us and he's filling us. And he's showing me that girl right there in 1979 at Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga, them buildings that burned this week. You see her? That's the one I want you to marry. You say the Holy Ghost don't speak that way. He might not to you. I'll tell you, walk in intimacy with God, he'll speak in your life. He was the one that said in 1984, you get in that old car and you drive to Dunn, North Carolina, and you meet with those boys and you sit around with them in that storefront building, and the Spirit of God was the one that said, when I pulled over into town, this is where you're supposed to spend your life. It was the Spirit of God all along the way. If we got anything done, Pastor, that was done for the glory of God, it was because God spoke and we heard him speak. We obeyed his voice. I'm talking about the love of the Spirit. There's piles more to say on this subject, but I want to tell you I'm so glad for the love of the Spirit. I love that what Jesus said. The Father said, you love me, my Father will love you. My daughter's sitting back there. I tell you, some of y'all love her. You've told me that before. And your daughter's watching. She's sending me texts right now. Lynn, I'm watching. I'm telling all these people. But she's sending little notes and pictures she's taking. But you love our daughters. You love our youngins. We'll love you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost tonight dearly and affectionately loves you and will never stop. You're loved by God. And the way to love God, all of that is revealed by the work of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I do love to tell it, and I'm going to close with it. Billy Martin, some of y'all know him. You mentioned his name tonight, Brother Fry. He's getting a little older and living in a special place now, over a little closer to his children. He tells a story about going to a family reunion. He said, now, when we go to these reunions, he said, all my cousins were there, a bunch of cousins. We're all up in years, over 70. And he said, we all see each other. He said, I got this one female cousin. She always run that mouth. He said she would say too much lots of times. And I knew it. He said, I'd anticipate it. So he said, I went there, and he said, now really, I didn't want to say anything because Grandma really did love me better than she did all those other cousins. And he said, here's how I knew it. He said she would get me up in the mornings. We'd go over to her house. They warmed the house by an old stove. We'd get up and it'd be cold in the morning. She'd come up to where I was sleeping. She'd shake me and say, Billy, come here. And Billy said I would get up and go in there with her. And she'd take me in the kitchen where she had made up, already mixed up those biscuits with that lard and that flour and got everything ready. There'd be a big hot biscuit there. And she'd say, Billy, come here. He said she'd give me a big cloth, like a kitchen cloth. And she'd put that biscuit in my hand. It was still hot. She'd cut it open and she'd take that country butter. You know, when the round cubed. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? She'd skim some of that off and cut a big piece and put it in there. Then she'd squirt either honey or molasses in that biscuit. She'd say, quick, run off down there behind the barn and eat that. I don't want your other cousins to see it. And here's why. Because I love you better than I love all of them. Now look, he says she said that to him. And he said, here's what I would do. He said, I'd be halfway down that path with that butter dripping down my arm, thanking the Lord for my grandma. He said, I had confidence just about my whole life because of that kind of affirmation that she gave me. He said, but I made up my mind, I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to tell that in front of those others and make them feel bad. I'm just not going to do it. So they get to that meeting, they're all sitting around, and sure enough, that cousin starts in. She said, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but she said, Grandma loved me better than she did all of y'all. And Billy thought, I know better than that, but I'm not going to say anything. She said she would wake me up. Billy said, what? He said, she'd get me out of the bed, and she'd give me a big old cloth, and she'd cut one of those big cat head biscuits. She'd put that butter in it, squirt me some honey in it, and she'd say, run around behind the smokehouse and eat that, and don't you tell anybody, because Grandma loves you better than all the other cousins. And every one of them started looking at each other and said, she told me the same thing. She told me to run behind the pack house. She told me to run over by behind the pig pen. She told me. And every one of them sat there and laughed. When I heard him tell that story, I thought, you know, tonight on this first night of the camp meeting, if we had any idea, you know, God looks down to this week on this little meeting and thinks, there's some of my favorites right there. I've got something for them. I'm going to bless them with some songs that'll sweetly stir their. I'm going to give them some faith. I'm going to touch those preachers because of the love of the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, I want to thank you that heaven is real to me because my mentor stood up and opened up the word, Holy Ghost, that you inspired. And he preached to me again that that truth. And those realities. And Lord, there are people in this room, they're going through some things. And Lord, only you, Holy Ghost, can reveal yourself to them, reveal truth to them to show them how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them, how much the Holy Ghost loves them. And only you, Lord, can show us. You could take us to a new place this week of how we can love you more, how we can love you better and sweeter and more intimately. And God, I pray for young men and women and old men and women and single folks and others in this meeting to get a hold of everything, God, that you have for us. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you wouldn't be grieved. You wouldn't be quenched. You wouldn't, Lord, we wouldn't lie to you or tempt you. Lord, we yield ourselves to the fullness of everything you have for us this week. We commit to that, Lord, in Jesus' name.